VSiN's primetime action back on a Monday night for hour number two. It's Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, and Kelly Bidlin. We got to talk NFC games from the divisional round and look ahead to conference championship week. The Bay of Pigs between Green Bay and Tampa Bay. And, of course, we'll also guess Super Bowl lines here on the show. Sight unseen, we'll think about what those might be. But first, the basketball and the hockey updates.
Yeah, things tightening up for Danielle here as the Heat have gone on a run. They are now up 53-51 over the Pistons, 2 minutes to go in the second quarter. Heat 3.5 live favorites, 221.5 is live total there. Mavericks Raptors tied in a wrapped up in a tight one here, 53-51 Raptors, 10 minutes to go in the third. Raptors 4.5 live, 208.5. Live total. Nets up on the Bucks, 66-64. I think Gil and I are going to be sweating this one down to the end on the show here tonight. Bucks 1.5 live, 239.5 live total there. Bulls up on the Rockets, 57-47, 3 minutes to go in the second quarter. Bulls 5.5 live point live favorites, 228.5 is your live total there. Another big college basketball game tipping off here soon. Kansas Baylor. Baylor laying 8.5 at home tonight against the Jayhawks. 139.5 is the total there. On the ice, games in action. Maple Leafs up on the Jets 2-1. 17.5 minutes to go in the game there. Maple Leafs -550 live, +400 on the comeback. 5.5 live total. Sabres all over the Flyers 4-0. 10 minutes to go in the second period there. Sharks up on the Blues, 2-0, end of the first period. Sharks -380 live, +290 on the Blues on the comeback live total there, 5.5. And end of the first, Hurricanes and Predators, zip-zip, nil-nil, 0-0.
The pace of that game is very high. A lot of power plays, a lot of shots off the post, 0-0. And the Nets with a little flurry of threes. They're up 8 all of a sudden on the Bucks, 72-64 early third quarter in that one. All right, NFC. By the way, I mean, so we talked about the AFC. You like Buffalo at whatever number it is, whether it's Mahomes or not. NFC side of things. Let's start with the Green Bay side, because you touched on that. Green Bay favorite here by 3.5 over the Buccaneers. Green Bay beating the Rams on Saturday, 32-18. Rams kept it close-ish for a while. It was a brilliant game plan, as you talked about, from Matt LaFleur, really focusing in on the run against the Rams. Ultimately, though, Aaron Donald being diminished was so huge here. And you talked about it, like, we don't really believe that he's healthy. And in the end, the box score, look, Aaron Donald, just to be thorough about it, one tackle, zero sacks, zero quarterback hits. There you go. And the Rams D, zero sacks, zero takeaways, gave up 484 total yards, allowing a season-high 188 rushing yards.
Yeah, I mean, it was, look, there were some shenanigans going on with the injury report. You don't want it would not surprise me if this ends up getting some sort of fine or something down the line or something like that. Because, again, the dude doesn't play the entire second half of a game and then doesn't even get listed on the injury report. Whenever you're going into this next game, it just, you know, that's just not how it works. And it was obvious he was limited out there. I mean, it takes two guys, if you're lucky, it takes two guys to stop Aaron Donald. And they were getting it done with one. He wasn't on the field for the majority, like for over half the snaps. So obviously, again, he's hurt because he's not playing half the snaps. And so it was definitely some shenanigans going on there with all of that. But, you know, like we said, we teed this up, and I can't remember if we said this on the show on Friday. I hope we did, that we said we were going to tee it up, and if 90 minutes before game time, if the Cooper Kupp news came against, that we were going to pile back on. And you know, we were sitting there 90 minutes, boom, it comes across, he's not going to go unload yet again. And it's another one of those things where, you know, you look at this, and you're like, okay, Goff wasn't that bad. But, I mean, really and truly, he didn't have that guy out there to help him get it done when they needed to get it done to move the chains.
This was not on Jared Goff.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. He just didn't have the guy that he needed out there really for this. And I mean, they probably would have been outmatched anyway with the way this Packers team has played and the way that, you know, again, we were talking about how limited Aaron Donald was in this game. But still, like, without having Kupp out there to be that chain mover, it's just a different dynamic. It's just a different team.
It is Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, Kelly Bidlin. This is VSiN's Primetime Action, where we bet pre-flop and on normal nights in-game, though nothing really in-game tonight. Kelly, are you rogue sneaking some in-game plays over there?
No, nothing. I've had my eye on stuff. Don't worry. I'll try to bring up if there's anything I'm looking at.
Right. But, I'm sure you will. Hey, by the way, guys, I just took this.
That's not what's going to happen. Two segments later is when he goes, oh, by the way, two segments
just,
ago on break.
I want you to know I'm in a very favorable position in my in-game from two segments ago.
You know what? You know what, Gil? We get a lot of great tweets about our show sometimes, and, you know, a lot about Matt over, like, on Friday breaking down the NFL. Well, Matt gets rolling. I don't want to just jump in, you know. I'm just gonna interrupt you guys now.
We did interrupt Matt, though. But
you're right though. I mean, it wasn't on Goff. I mean, he played. There weren't enough guys, you know, on that team to get it done against this Packers team. And then you look at. I mean, you just look at what Aaron Rodgers is able to do with. I mean, this score, 32-18, and they left a touchdown on the field. Alan Lazard just dropped an easy walk-in touchdown in that game. I mean, like, it's...
How about Aaron Rodgers just smiling his way through everything?
Yeah.
Just the defense just must be like, this guy's killing me.
Yeah.
It's a walk in the park.
Nearly goes for 300 yards again and left, you know, a 50-yard, 50, 60-yard touchdown on the field out there with all this. I mean, it was... Not to do sports talk radio here, but again, it's like... This makes this Jordan Love pick just even more absurd because it's just like it's if there was one other dude on that field, this team would be unstoppable. Like we would be sitting here talking about it is the Packers for sure. But you're like, if any team can possibly shut down Devontae Adams, like what is going on? Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Equanimeous St. Brown and Alan Lazard. Like, this is who you have to get it done with. But
I didn't even look at numbers, Matt, but it felt like, and yes, I know it was cold, but it felt like there were so many big dropped passes in that game for the Packers.
There were some pretty good drop balls. Of course, Devontae Adams, like we said, we weren't surprised. He actually didn't go over
his
yardage rank, but he did get the double. He got 10 targets. He caught 9 of them.
Yep.
Caught 9 of 10 targets in that game. Like I said, he was going to get volume regardless. Aaron Rodgers is not going to not throw to Devontae Adams. It just is what it is. But you look at this, Gil. I mean, if you're a Rams fan, I think you take away from this that, hey, look, we gave it our best shot with our very best player injured, another key player out, and you know we didn't get embarrassed. They didn't get embarrassed. It was just better team wins,
better team,
you know, better, more talent. They just got beat.
There were 8,456 fans in Green Bay at Lambeau, and we haven't really talked about this year because we've just sort of assumed there's no fans or there are some sparse crowds. Aaron Rodgers said it felt like there were 50,000 fans. Aaron Jones said it seemed more like 80,000. Alan Lazard said, "quote felt like 90,000." Honestly, thing or not a thing. Like, we thought the cold, it's going to be a huge home field advantage. Even having 8,000 or 9,000 fans, should there be a tick into the line for that?
I saw all these, too, and I was wondering, okay, are they just saying this because they didn't have fans in
the
stands all year, and so now that they finally got some ambient noise, they're like, oh, what is look at that.
Human beings.
Look at that. There's cheers and stuff and booze and everything else. I don't know really what to read into. I know that they did like funnel them all down, you know, like as close as possible while still socially distanced and everything. So it's like they're on top of you a little bit more and stuff. So but I don't know. I don't think I'm going to look too much into it with what I look at, with the way that I look at these games. But I mean,
I'm with
they're
you,
saying
but,
it's a
but
thing.
Worth noting.
Yeah, they're saying it's a thing, though.
I'm going to go closer to a thing than not a thing because I think that it was very noticeable both in Buffalo and Green Bay, even just watching the games. I think that it was, but you know, I guess you could use the same argument that Gil just or that Matt just made about the players. Is it because we've been watching games without fans too? But I don't, I mean, especially those fan bases, I mean, they're about as good as it gets. We looked at home field advantage last week. It's been basically nothing for the past 2 years, right? We looked at that graphic from 2 years ago, and it was nothing then, too, or last season. It was nothing then. So, you know, I think we should probably start downplaying that overall a little bit. But I do think it's an advantage for the Packers, whereas compared to other teams that wouldn't have them at all.
You know, I know we've gushed this year about Aaron Rodgers' play, but I don't know if even with all the gushing, I don't know if he's getting the credit that he deserves. I mean, it's the little things, too, that if you really were watching that game and focusing on every single play, it's the extending the plays sometimes. It's the awareness in the pocket. Again, did not get sacked against this number one defense in the league. Did not get sacked a single time. One definitely has to do with his offensive line as well. But you can just watch Aaron Rodgers. His sense in the pocket and knowing when to step up, when to get out, when to get rid of the ball, what to do with everything. It is poetry watching.
It's so easy for him. It's effortless. There is nothing out there on the field he can't do.
Yeah.
Command.
And you're just sitting there and the guy's throwing to, Robert Tonyan and making this guy relevant. You know what I mean? It's like making all these guys that you wouldn't want on your practice squad, like relevant in these games. It really is something else. And he deserves the runaway MVP this year.
Yes.
This vote shouldn't be close. Like, this should be as close to a unanimous vote as there is with what this guy has done.
And think about
this
year. 6 weeks into the season, it was like, oh, it's Russell Wilson's to lose.
Yeah.
Right? Chris Collinsworth was saying on air what we had always said, which was, oh, Russell Wilson's never even gotten a vote. So that became like the ruling narrative, and then not so much. And then it was Mahomes versus Rodgers, and then that kind of not so much, just because Rodgers is so otherworldly. About Tampa Bay and New Orleans. This game, just listen, if you had access to the box scores, this is all you would need to know, right? Four turnovers plus four. That was the whole game. 3,750 tickets distributed, by the way, in the cavernous Superdome, if we're scoring at home. But this line came down to 2.5 before the game. You got your 2.5.
Got my 2.5.
But Tampa Bay wins it 30-20. Four turnovers, three of which led directly to touchdowns for the Buccaneers. It was 6-3. We'll just go through them all. Saints were up 6-3. Breeze trying to flee pressure. He underthrows Michael Thomas, who, by the way, had zero catches. Zero. Zero.
On only four targets.
Intercepted by Sean Murphy bunting. He goes 36 yards along the sideline to the Saints. Three. Brady hits Evans one play later to put the Bucs up 10-6. By the way, Evans only catch.
Mm-hmm.
To go up 10-6. Then, after a Tre'Quan Smith touchdown that put the Saints ahead 20-13, New Orleans looked again like, and this is the play that got you the fruit basket being sent here. It's 20-13. New Orleans has the ball, and you're like, oh man, New Orleans is going to do this. Breeze hits Jared Cook, cross the 50, but Antoine Winfield Jr. strips Cook from behind. Devin White snags the loose ball, returns it 18 yards to the New Orleans 40. Five plays later, Brady to Fournette, tie ball game, 6 yard score. Then Devin White snags the second of the three interceptions from Breeze. It was intended for Alvin Kamara, gave the Bucs the ball at the New Orleans 20. That set up Tampa Bay's final touchdown when Brady took it in from the 1 yard line, where he scored himself with 4:57 left to ensure his 14th conference championship appearance. That's insane. And if they win this, he's going to his 10th Super Bowl. And then the last one, which was the end of it all, Breeze third interception, tip pass late in the fourth quarter. Bucs able to close out the game. But that's the game.
Yeah. It looked like on that Kamara, it looked as if that was an option route there, that Kamara ran one option. Breeze thought he was going to run another option because it was Breeze threw it to a spot, whereas Kamara kept going.
Correct.
And it looked as if like it looked like it was an option route. Kamara took a different option than Breeze did in that one. I mean, guys, the MVP of that game was Leonard Fournette. Like, he came up with all the big plays for them. I mean, it's not an impressive box score. It was 17 carries for 63 yards. That's only about, a little under 4 yards a carry. But what he did in the receiving game, getting those first downs, getting those check downs, and moving the chains consistently, I mean, he really was, for that Bucs team, the MVP of getting this thing done. I mean, listen, Tom Brady didn't have a particularly great game by his standards this year. 18 of 33 for only 199 yards. And this all just goes back to the thing that we've been chirping about all year long. And it finally caught up with them here. And you saw this defense from the Bucs in the second half get so much more aggressive against this Saints team because Drew Brees didn't attempt one single pass over 20 yards down the field. Literally. I'm not saying that's not hyperbole.
Right.
He did not attempt one single pass down the field
and
over 20 yards.
And we have said this before this year.
It is a if the defense does not have to worry about you throwing the ball downfield and you giving up a quick score and you giving up this giant chunk yardage, it is so much, it is infinitely easier to play defense in the NFL if you know everything is going to be under 10 yards. And that is exactly what was going on here. And, you know, look, Drew Brees can say what he wants to last night after the game. He knows he's done. He's not going to go back out there and embarrass himself. This is his, the physical decline is there. It's not like Brady. I'll tell you this. We were saying this over the last 2 weeks, and it was evident last night as well. Like, again, not eye-popping numbers, but the arm strength is there, man. Like, the zip is there.
He can throw it down.
He flings it down the field. Like, it is there. Like, it's nothing.
Well, the Brees thing is what I was going to ask you, and you've already sort of tipped off where you're going with this, because Jay Glazer was the first to report this is Brees' last game if they lose. And Brees has not confirmed that yet. Is there a—I mean, I know we say, look, he can't throw the ball downfield. There's no way he's going to come back. Why would you taint your legacy? Why would you even try to come back? But is there a little part of you that's like, that dude might still be thinking about it a little bit? I hope not. But you never know with these guys.
I hope not as well. Jay Glazer is very, very, very good friends with Sean Payton. They are real tight. And if anybody knows, he would know.
Okay.
So I'm guessing that it's probably done. Not only that, this was the last run at it for the Saints. They are $95 million over the salary cap next year. It is going to be a teardown.
You think Michael Thomas is there? They're all going to go.
I think it's a teardown. You just don't have I don't think they're going to have a choice. You know, yeah. I mean, I just don't think they're going to have a choice. And so I think this was the one last run at it. They can restructure. So, and Brees will do this because he loves the city, loves the team. He can restructure his deal to where he like re-signs for like $1 million. They keep him on until after June, and then he can retire after June, and it's only like an $11 million hit against the team as opposed to a $41 million hit, which is what his 1 year remaining on his contract is worth. So
Hall of Fame the moment he's eligible.
Yeah. The guy's been, I mean, against all odds, right? He was the too small, not enough arm strength,
amazing.
Got hurt.
Small hands.
Yeah, like everything about it, everything about him has been nothing but an upstanding, perfect citizen. The city loves him more than anything in the world. Literally, I say this all the time, but it's the truth. He could run for governor and he'd get 75% of the vote. It'd be the most unbelievably lopsided thing in the history. That's how much they love this dude. Like, I mean, he is the guy down there. But you know, you just this team it's done. I mean, like they are so in over their head with all this. They're just gonna have to tear it down and build it back up.
Who's your quarterback, Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston?
I mean, I probably neither. Probably some retread. Like some guy that gets released or that someone, I don't know, Mitch Trubisky or something. Seriously, like somebody you get on a discount that nobody wants anymore, and you see if maybe that it pans out.
What do you think happens with Jameis?
I mean, he's only on a one-year deal, so he's going somewhere.
And Taysom was on a 2-year deal, I believe.
Yeah.
But you don't think, I mean, I guess we haven't seen him a lot, so I'm not going to say that he's obviously made enough of an impact on.
He did throw a 56-yard touchdown pass.
Right, yeah.
Exact same play the Bears ran against him last week.
I don't know if he's made enough of an impact, but maybe he has on the coaches and players there to, you know, at least get another 1-year deal or 2-year deal out of the team or something. I don't know. When you're talking about some of these retreads, I mean, I defend Jameis Winston too much. I know he turns the ball over all the time, but I'd rather roll it out there with Jameis Winston than a lot of
these
other
guys. I think it's just fairly telling that when they had the option, when they needed a guy to play quarterback that wasn't Drew Brees, they chose not for it not to be him.
Well,
you know,
yeah, Bill Barnwell. But that said, yesterday Bill Barnwell kept tweeting. He's like, I'd really like to see what Jameis could do.
Me and my friends, y'all know whatever. I'm from Louisiana, I'm a Saints fan. Me and all my friends were saying like down 10 points.
Oh yeah.
You're down 10. They were down 10 with 5 minutes left in the game. So it's not like game was over. You know, they were down 10 points, 5 minutes left in the game. Their best shot was to put in Jameis Winston at that point. Sean Payton is never going to bench Drew Brees. It's never going to happen. They're like best friends and whatever and all that stuff. And Drew Brees probably deserves to go out on his sword. But I mean, like, that is just.
Yeah.
You have to have someone who can get chunk yard. Like, you have to be able to get chunk plays in that situation if you have any chance whatsoever in coming back. And, you know, that's just not the way this all played out. But I will say this, you know, both of these defenses, like we were saying, I know there's 30 and 20 points on the board, but again, you mentioned there were turnovers, there were different things, short fields and whatnot. Both these defenses are awesome. We're awesome. I mean, they are really, really good. They broke up all kinds of passes all day. I mean, stuff that, like, you know, I mean, for whatever reason, Mike Evans just cannot have a game against the Saints. This is like a thing. Like, oh, Marshawn Lattimore, yeah, is just...
Destroys him.
Like, yeah, small sample size, guys, and we know me and Gil preach against that all the time, but, like, there is something to this. I mean, like, Mike Evans wins all 50-50 balls, essentially, it feels like, and he cannot get anything done against Marshawn Lattimore. It is insanity.
We'll talk about what bets we actually have made for next week here after the break, but it's an interesting thing because of those turnovers. You know, we talked last week how Aaron Schatz at Football Outsiders, they had the Bucks ranked as high as 4, like when nobody else seemed to have them in the top 10 at one point this year. They've sort of chronically overrating the Bucks. And even though the Bucks won yesterday, I'm not sure you can draw a direct line into anything else but what we were saying, because it's 4 turnovers. I know you won bets with it, but when you have a +4 in turnover margin, you're going to win football games. And so I don't know that they're still not chronically overrated by Football Outsiders heading into this one. But as it is, in the end, as we head into championship week in the NFL, you know, maybe people would quibble with Tampa Bay as the fourth best, but we certainly have 3 of the best teams in the NFL in there. Green Bay favored by 3.5 consensus, Kansas City favored by 3, and we still don't know about Patrick Mahomes. We'll talk about what bets we do have already coming back on VSiN's Primetime Action.
The DraftKings Casino app now and use promo code VSIN, that's VSIN, to get a deposit bonus up to $1,500. DraftKings Casino has hundreds of ways to play. Choose from slots, blackjack, roulette, and so much more. DraftKings Casino is U.S.-based, making it safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER-GIL.
Danielle.
Yeah.
How's your bet going?
It's going. It's fine. The Pistons are still up at halftime, 61-55.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how much are you catching in that game?
+6 from the
plus
Pistons.
Six. All right, looking good.
Yeah.
My over in this Milwaukee-Brooklyn game is like right on the button on pace. You know how that ends, man.
Yeah, not well. 244.5 is what I'm seeing right now.
Yeah.
Nets up 94-87. I'm catching 3.5 with the Nets. So, like I said, we're sweating this down to the end, Gil.
Yeah.
So I know another Bucks run's coming at some point.
I'm a little better than on pace. But I need to be. Not comfortable. Let's put it that way.
The one that I haven't seen many of, but I know both in the second and third quarter, Milwaukee was in the bonus for many, 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 many minutes of the end of the second and third quarter. And every time, I don't feel like I haven't seen him at the free throw line barely at all.
Giannis just took a 3, and I'm not exaggerating. The other 9 players on the court weren't within 15 feet of him, and he proceeded to airball it grossly. That was fun.
Oh, man. So, all right, some other scores around the NBA. Pistons up on the Heat, 61-58. Third quarter just getting started there. So, Danielle back in business right now. Heat laying 2.5 live, 223.5 live total. Raptors up on the Mavericks at the end of the third quarter, 81-72. Raptors laying 7.5 live, 208.5 is live total there. Bulls up on the Rockets, 71-64. 7:42 remaining in the third quarter. Bulls 5.5, 224.5. Kansas and Baylor underway. Baylor all over Kansas early, 18-7. 12 minutes to go in the first half. Baylor 13.5 point live favorite, 141.5 live total. And on the ice, Maple Leafs up on the Jets, 2-1, 1:30 to go in the game there. So empty net situation coming if it's not already going on. Sabres up on the Flyers into the second period, 4-0. Sharks and Blues all knotted up at 2, 8:30 to go in the second period. 7.5 live total on that game right now. Blues minus 170, plus 140 on the comeback with the Sharks. Hurricanes up on the Predators, 1-0, 4 minutes to go in the second period. Hurricanes minus 350, plus 270 on the other side. Canadiens 1, Oilers nothing, 10 minutes to go in the first period. Oilers minus 120, favorite minus 110 on the comeback there, 6.5 live total. And Canucks Flames, Canucks up 1-0, 8:20 to go in the first. Canucks minus 150, Flames plus 120, 5.5 live total. Wild Ducks scoreless 10 minutes into that game.
Robust.
Porzingis finally having a good game for that Mavericks team, and then Hardaway's 0 of 8 from the floor. Like, just can't get everyone going in the same night.
They can't. Because we talked about the lack of depth, and he's the one guy that has stepped up. And Maxi Kleber, too. He's had a good year. But he's been dealing with COVID issues and stuff like that. But, yeah, it's Hardaway's been a savior for them. So you're right, Matt. They just can't get everything to click right now.
We talked all about that football all about the upcoming weekend in the NFL and what transpired this past weekend. What bets do you actually have currently one day later?
I have Bills plus 3, I have Bills plus 3.5, and I have Bucks plus 4.
All right. There it is. You?
Bills plus 3. That's all. Matt tried to help me, text me and everything for a 3.5. Mm-hmm. I missed the 3.5. I haven't seen one pop when I've looked. I have a feeling it will at some point this week, so I'll probably get in again at 3.5 there. And then Packers-Bucks, man, I was kind of hoping the Saints were going to win so I could go in heavy on the Packers this week. I think the Bucks, I was kind of speaking about them earlier in the year. I just wouldn't be surprised if they made a run in the playoffs. We're seeing that happen here. Man, I'm hoping a 3 pops. I'll probably still go in on the Packers on that game, laying 3. I'm hoping we see a 3 at some point this week. I'm sure we will, but nothing bet yet with that game.
14th. Championship game for Tom Brady. That is just
it's silly,
insane.
It really is.
We're gonna guess Super Bowl, potential Super Bowl lines here momentarily on the show. When we come back, also one of these rare situations. I mean, rare might be overstating it, but one of these unique situations where this year both championship game opponents they've already played each other this year. One game quite memorable, the other game barely memorable at all. At least that's how I came off about it this morning. I'm curious if you guys have a better recollection about them. And the real question from a handicapping standpoint, can we read into any of those, or either rather of those outcomes, as it helps us look forward to this weekend? I'm going to say no, but I don't know. We might have a different opinion here. Coming back right here on VSiN's Primetime Action.
$22 hoping that meaningless free throw rims out or begging for two goals and extra time to hit that miracle four-team parlay, we have a suggestion. Take $22 and invest it in your sports betting success. Become a VSiN all-access member today and get all of our expert VSiN betting analysis for less than $22 per month. Daily emails, 24/7 video access, point spread weekly, and betting 101 strategies. It's everything you need to increase your sports betting IQ. Place a bet on yourself right now. Start your free trial today at vsin.com/subscribe. Gil?
Thank you, Danielle. Nick Bakay is a gentleman who is responsible for many things in Hollywood, including Paul Blart Mall Cop. Is that what that's called? Paul, was that Mall? What is it?
Yeah, that was the name of it.
Yeah, he was like the cad in and Sabrina the Teenage Witch, or also like he's a Hollywood guy, but he's also, for our purposes, the first guy ever, this is like the early 2000s, the first person to ever talk about gambling on ESPN without really talking about gambling. He would do these fictional things that he was betting on games. People may remember the phrase advantage push or things like that. Anyway, he's a lifelong Bills fan. Here was his tweet yesterday when Taron Johnson had the pick six to put the Bills up 14. I just soiled myself. I'll have Nick Bakay on the radio show on VSiN later this week to talk about this and more, of course, as the dread creeps up for all Bills fans. That's what he likes to say. Let's clean up our we had a hedge question. We want to get to that. We want to pay this off for everybody. This is a Corey Cook on Twitter hitting us all up and saying, I have Bills Packers exact a Super Bowl matchup at 150-1 from September. Good for you, Corey. Thoughts on hedge? Was thinking of watching Green Bay game, and if Green Bay wins, putting money on Kansas City as the hedge, is that the right way to go about this? Love the shows, guys. Well, my first reaction is, that's not really a hedge because you're sort of still gambling with the Green Bay game.
Yeah, you're still rolling the dice.
Yeah. So, you can't do it that way because you're still gambling here. But it isn't the most fun hedge because of that. Because of the Bills side of this, but the Packers, I mean, you're going to get plus money on the Bucks. That would be the first thing.
You're getting like 165, 170 ish right now, depending on where you get it. So, I mean,
that's what you do
first and foremost.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do that. If you want to get a hedge in, you're getting plus money on it.
Yeah. And if you're still alive after that game, having hedged that way, then it gets a little more. Yeah.
A little more dicey for sure.
Because then you got to take KC. Now, if Patrick Mahomes is not playing, different story.
You could, I mean, a Bucks Chiefs parlay pays 339, so 340 ish, around 340, if you wanted to just go that route.
Yep.
You know. That's as one part.
That's also not a clean hedge.
Not a clean. One part.
You could lose both.
Yeah.
So, it's I mean, look, I was going to say there are clean, beautiful hedges, and then there are not so clean ones. But that's, I mean, the best way again is you're going to have to do this step by step, I think. But the Bucks money line would be the first way to go.
First way to go, and that's an easy one because you're getting plus money, and
start with that.
I also think it depends on, you know, we talk about this on the show a lot. You know, how much is the bet for? How big is your bankroll?
That's
you know what I mean? That allows you to do a lot. I mean, if it's a fairly large bet, then yeah, you're going to probably want to do multiple hedging scenarios, like you guys are talking about, where hit the Packers first or the Bucks first, and then you know you have to play in something again after that. You know, if it's not much money, I'd probably ride with it through the first game, and then maybe hedge on the second one. I mean, like you guys said, you're gambling then still, but you know, if it's only a $20 ticket or something like that, I might be willing just to gamble with it a bit.
Yeah, not everything is a perfect Iga Swiatek French Open hedge.
Had to be 150-1 just to remind me of what happened this past week.
Could have been 160,
could have been 140.
There's someone on the set.
It could have been anything. It had to be the 150-1 to remind me of my misfortune from the weekend.
All right. Yeah, you should have answered this directly, man. You should have been like, just roll with it, man. Come on.
Yeah, just let it roll and then watch it slowly trickle away, like right before your very eyes.
Are the Packers going to have a 3-shot lead after 9? All right, week 6, guys. Both of these matchups happened week 6. Now the Packers and the Buccaneers playing in week 6, you'll probably remember this one. I know I did. That was the one at Tampa Bay where the Packers were up 10-0 after the first quarter, and you're like, oh, Packers going to roll. And then it was a pick 6 from Rodgers to Jamel Dean. All of a sudden it was 10-6. They missed the extra point. Next possession, Rodgers picked off by Mike Edwards. He almost takes to the house, takes to the 2. They score on the next play, 13-10, 38-10. It was clearly Aaron Rodgers' worst game of the season. 16 of 35 for 160 yards, no touchdowns, 2 picks. And I believe he was sacked 4 times, so don't hold me to that number. But anyway, just that was the game I think most people remember because it was 10-0, and then all of a sudden it was like the other way in a blowout. And I think the Packers were 4-0 at the time. The other game that weekend, and my question will be, does any of this mean anything? The other game that weekend between the game between the Bills and the Chiefs, is I couldn't even remember that they played. And the reason for that is this was in that COVID period where they were delaying, they were postponing games. So the Bills and the Chiefs were supposed to have played on the previous Thursday night. But the Bills, remember, had the game with the Titans pushed to the previous Tuesday. So they couldn't play Tuesday, Thursday. So this was the early Monday doubleheader. We probably remember the Cardinals-Cowboys game that was played after this, where the Cardinals just destroyed them, 38-10, an Andy Dalton game. But I barely remember this game.
When you teased this about which one you don't remember, I was like, man, I feel like I should remember this Bills Chiefs game more, because I had a feeling you were going the opposite direction there for a second.
I have no recollection of this.
I'm with you, Gil. I don't remember anything from that game off the top.
It's really weird too, going back, because that's one of the things I did last night was look at these games, and it's very. It's very forgettable box scores from all four of these guys, which, again, four of the top five quarterbacks rated by Pro Football Focus over the course of the entire season. And Rodgers throws for 160, sacked four times in that game. Brady throws for 166. Nothing to really write home about, 6.1 yards per attempt in that one. And then you go to the other one, and Mahomes goes for 225, very pedestrian for him by his standards. And then and Josh Allen, by far his worst game of the year, 122 yards, 4.5 yards per attempt on that. So, I mean, it was four of the worst performances all in the same week by all these teams of these quarterbacks, which is why I think all these games were kind of forgettable early on in the year.
I mean, I guess we came into primetime action to do a show that night, and this game was kind of second half-ish already, because it was like a 2 p.m. Pacific start. So, yeah, I mean, one of the least memorable games, the Chiefs and the Bills, that is. Bottom line, does this mean anything to you in a handicap?
Not to me.
Not to me.
Most of these teams have changed drastically over the course of the season. Yeah.
Just like the Bucks and the Saints outcomes meant nada yesterday in the divisional round. Danielle feeds us lines or matchups, and we try to guess what Super Bowl lines will be, at least at this point, coming back on Primetime Action.